Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And we have a guest tonight, so no co-host tonight. And I'll tell you about my guest in about a second. But, you know, I don't do this very often, talk about markets and so forth. But tonight I just want to just give you a little thought about markets, because they were down a little bit today. And, you know, we don't talk a lot about markets because we believe most people should just, you know, buy and hold for the long term and so forth. But we do believe that right now is a time that you might want to take a little bit of caution. Nobody should ever sell out everything and go to cash, because if you try to do that and you're wrong, you're going to be really wrong. And now you're going to have a hard time ever getting back in. But you have a market like this one where you have issues going on, and I'm going to talk more about them next week. So next week in our open show, we'll get into more details about what we're concerned about. You need to take a defensive position, take some of your money, the profit that you've made over the last 6 months to a year or 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 years, just take a little off the table, 10-20%, set it in something safe, and sit back and watch the developments go through. You're still going to go down with the market. You're not going to miss everything if we're right, but at the same time, you'll have plenty of cash on the sideline to do things with if you need to, and reinvest them when you feel that, like Warren Buffett does, when the hysteria hits the wall, that's when you're going to put that money back to work. Because I don't believe this is the end of the world, but there are some weird things going on that you need to be attentive to. That's, I guess, the best word to say, attentive to. And we haven't really talked about markets in the, I don't know, you know, almost the last 7 years, I think haven't really mentioned them in any significant way. So anyway, put that out there. We'll talk more about it next week. Let's talk about our guest tonight. So tonight we're going to talk about elder care. Elder care is when you have a spouse or a parent or something of that sort that needs custodial care. They need somebody to help them bathe. They need somebody to help them toilet. They need somebody to help feed them, to help them walk, get in and out of bed, and so forth. This is custodial care. Custodial care is not covered by medical insurance. It is not covered by Medicare, medical insurance for seniors. This type of care is only covered by either long-term care insurance, which not everyone has. Most people actually don't have it. Or it's covered by Medicaid when you run out of money and you need the government to assist you. Now, what does the term run out of money mean? And that's where Candace Scherer comes in. Candace is a elder care attorney with the firm of Frank and Scherer. And you know, she's an expert in this and helps spouses. You know, if you have one go into a nursing home and it's going to cost $125,000 a year, is there a way to protect some of the assets so they don't just get gobbled up in a long-term care situation? But I'll just bring Candace on, because she can explain this better than I will. So, Candace, are you with us?
I am, and thank you for having me.
It's good to have you again. You were with me, what, about a year or so ago?
Yeah, I think it was in 17, maybe.
Okay,
yeah,
so... Yeah. We wanted to, you know, have you back because your firm has done a lot of great work for some of our clients. Matter of fact, we just had a big one with you that, you know, they had a lot of assets, but they were all illiquid and they needed to put out $100,000+ a year. And your firm really came and did the work we need to help protect the healthy spouse, which you call the community spouse, to not get wiped out long term. And so we're really appreciative. We wanted to have you back and help our listeners with some of their issues. So we're going to open the phones to you. If you want to call in and ask a question about your own personal situation, Candace is here to help you. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. If you have a parent or a spouse or even, you know, there's lots of issues where you might have children. You know, that's an interesting thing, Candace. You probably deal with a lot of young people also in these types of situations.
We do. There are people of all ages with special needs, with disabilities, and everybody needs planning.
Yeah. So a common situation would be where, you know, let's say, God forbid, your 20-some-year-old child is driving along and has a really bad accident, and they get a bunch of money in a settlement, and next thing you know, they need custodial care for the rest of their life. But now they've got all this money from this settlement. You got to figure out how to protect it.
Yes, that's right. And the main tool that we use there are special needs trusts, and that's the ability to put funds into a trust where these assets are no longer counted for public benefit programs. So it provides funds that can be used to supplement what the benefit program would pay for.
Right. But what we're really, you know, the main thing we're going to talk about tonight is the situation where you're married, you've been married for 50 or 60 years now, and all of a sudden your spouse is running into either memory issues or physically can't, care for themselves, and you don't have the strength or the ability to do it for them, and now they've got to go to either assisted living or long-term care, and it's going to cost $100,000+ a year, and your total income's only $50,000-$70,000 a year.
Yeah, that's right. That's where we definitely want to talk about Medicaid planning, because there's a program, Medicaid. It's really an excellent program, because if the institutionalized spouse, that's the person who's in the nursing home, qualifies for the program, they're going to be responsible for only paying a portion of their income to the nursing home each month, and the Medicaid program will pay for the rest of the care. So it's basically going to cover room and board, all medications, and all doctor bills. And when we're married, there's a public policy behind Medicaid. The state doesn't want that spouse at home, the community spouse, to become impoverished, paying $10,000, sometimes nursing homes, I'm seeing them at $14,000, and upwards a month paying that. You can see how quickly, if you're paying it over time, it's going to ruin your retirement savings.
Yep.
So the policy is to protect that spouse at home, to allow that spouse to have a certain amount of money so they can continue to live and pay their bills.
Yeah, so, you know, we're going to talk more about this when we come back, Candace, because, mm-hmm. As I said earlier, when you're impoverished, the government will step in. But that's a relative statement. What does it mean? And are there ways to protect you? And that's where you come in. And that's what we're going to talk about when we come back.
Yep.
But if you want to get online and ask questions about your own personal situation, 410-922-6680 is the way to call in. 410-922-6680. Right now, I've got to go to traffic. Take it away, traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you can trust and help you through all stages of life? Having a team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs gives us the ability to help you prepare your tax return, strategize to help you minimize tax liability, help you visualize and reach your retirement goals, and help guide you in every other facet of personal financial planning. We demonstrate these abilities every Wednesday night on our radio show, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Have you been wanting a second opinion? Then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your Financial Physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE, or go online to financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And this is Drew Tignanelli, Beck, Money, Riches, and Wealth. I'm here with Candace Scher of Frank, Frank, and Scher. And Candace is an elder care attorney, and that's the person to help you if you're have a spouse or a parent needing custodial care, toileting, feeding, walking, bathing. You know, all these custodial services are not covered by medical insurance. That's custodial care. It's covered as long-term care, and most people don't carry long-term care insurance. And so if you want to call in and ask a question on a situation for yourself, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680 for, you know, any help on an elder care issue you're dealing with either a spouse or a parent or something of that sort. But Candace, I wanted to get back to this issue of, I might have $300,000 or $400,000 in an IRA that I accumulated when I was working, and I might have a house worth $300,000 or $400,000, and now I have a spouse that's headed to a nursing home facility, and it's going to cost $120,000 a year. And my total income from Social Security and pensions is only $50,000, $60,000 a year. And I'm looking at disaster ahead because I'll be wiped out totally in about 4 years or so. So what is the definition of impoverished if you're married?
Well, what has to happen is it's called a spend down. And the Medicaid program is going to take a snapshot of assets as of the first day of the month that the nursing home placement takes place. So if the husband, let's say, goes into the nursing home today, the snapshot's taken October 1st, and they're going to look at everything in the husband's name, everything in the wife's name, everything they own together. They're going to determine which of those assets are countable, and they're going to add them up, and they're going to allow the spouse at home, the wife, to keep a portion of the assets. And they allow her to keep actually half of the assets, but up to a cap, which is now $126,420. So in your example, if their assets total on that snapshot date $400,000, the wife can only keep the cap. She can't keep half because $200,000 is higher than her cap. So she has to spend down from $400,000 down to $126,000. And there's a list of things that she can do to spend down. It doesn't mean she has to pay the nursing home for her husband every month until she's down to that number.
So there are things that they can do. And with a good attorney, you might be able to protect more than just a pure $120,000. According to what the because, and it's perfectly legal. There are just legal things you can do to get to that level that they're saying.
Oh, right. All of these things that I'm describing, it's Medicaid law. It's perfectly allowable. I wouldn't tell you anything that was different. So here's the list of some things that can be done. And we really can, in most cases, help protect all of the assets. So if the couple had any debt, let's say they had a mortgage on their home, or they had a line of credit, or they had a car loan, or they had credit card debt, they could pay off the debt as part of the spend down. Something else they could do, home repairs, anything related to the home. Let's say they needed a new roof or a new driveway, or they want to get new appliances or carpeting. They can do that. The community spouse at home can buy a new car. She can trade in her car, get a new car. And they really don't ask about the price of the car.
If it was a child and the child was helping to take care of the parents before they went to the nursing home, there's a possibility of some money exchanging hands there.
A caregiving child, yes, because you can prepare a restatement of an agreement where you set out what chores, what tasks, what help the child is doing, and how much time was put in, and a reasonable amount, hourly amount. So that yes, you can pay child in that particular circumstance. They can also prepay for funerals, where they go to the funeral home, make all the arrangements, and the funeral home holds the money in escrow till needed. Funeral trusts that are prepaid, that are made irrevocable, are not counted.
So there are things, there are things that can be done. And you know, here's one of the sad things about this, Candace, is that there are plenty of children who are dealing with parents with custodial issues, and they're paying and paying and paying, and they're just drawing down and drawing down and drawing down the assets. And there are plenty of spouses who are even worse case scenario. They're spending and spending all this money until they're maybe wiped out totally, completely, even sell their house to try to continue to pay the bills, and don't even know that there's somebody like you out there that can help them with that. I've seen that, and it's really sad.
It's so sad. It's why we all try to get out there and educate families that the Medicaid program is out there, that there are ways to protect assets. I see that. I see that often. But it's really never too late. A lot of people think, oh, if they haven't, they had to do these things years ago. But most of my planning with my families are coming in that crisis mode right when something happens. And fortunately, someone told them to come to an elder law attorney. And then we can look at their situation. And even when someone's already in a nursing home, there's a lot we can do to protect assets.
So one of the things that, you know, we have a little bit of time to address, but one of the things that you also have to be careful of is you said they're going to look at all your assets on October 1st if you're going in October 2nd and you're going to ask Medicaid to help you pay for it. One of the things Medicaid's going to do is they're going to want to go back 5 years.
That's right.
See,
that's the look back period.
Yeah, they're going to go back 5 years to see, well, did you happen to give any of this money away? And if you did, then your family ought to step in and pay for this, and we're not going to pay for it.
Right. So they're going to ask for 5 years' worth of bank statements on all of the accounts, the IRAs, the CDs, the stock accounts, the checking, savings, money markets. They'll be looking to see what large checks, what large withdrawals were made. And there's even a question on the Medicaid application that asks, what has been gifted during the past 5 years? So you need to tell them about this, because then they will find it. Now, certain gifts, they're going to look at them and say they're exempt, that they're not going to have a problem with them. But if a large gift was made, what they could do is a calculation where they take the total amount of the gifts and they divide it by this number, 9,231, and that calculation result will show how many months of a penalty period there are. A penalty period means that during those months, the state will not give Medicaid to the person.
Okay.
That means somebody's got to pay that nursing home bill.
Yeah. So we're going to have to hold there for a second.
Yeah. Go ahead.
But that, you know, the gift situation is a very important thing that we're going to have to talk about. But right now, I'm going to have to go to traffic. But I just want to say to our listeners, we've got Candace Scherer here on the phone with us, and we're talking elder care. And if you want to call in and ask a question, 410-922-6680. Take it away, traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, president of the Financial Consulate and host of Money, Riches, and Wealth. So often a radio listener calls me saying, I've been listening to you for years and have been meaning to call. When they come in for their comprehensive financial physical, they say, I wish I had done this years ago. If you've been meaning to call and meet with us, then do not wait. Call now to learn more about our trademark financial physical.
The financial physical is designed to be a comprehensive second opinion analyzing all your goals and objectives. Are you maximizing tax efficiencies? Will you be able to maintain your lifestyle in retirement? Is your portfolio properly allocated? Are just a few of the many parts of the physical. The best part of our service is you get to see the final product before you decide if you want to pay for it. We do this to assure you we are not selling product, and we guarantee the physical to be truly beneficial. Do not wait any longer. Call 410-823-7283. That's 410-823-SAFE, or visit us online at financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here with Candace Scherr. She's an attorney with Frank, Frank, and Scherr. And she's an elder care attorney. And if you want to call in and ask a question on elder care, that's helping you get approved for Medicaid. That's for paying for long-term care bills. You can call in at 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. And we do have Lee in Towson on the line. Lee, how can we help you? Lee? Well, I'm going to hang up on Lee. You want me to put him on hold or hang up on him? Well, you talk to him, and he'll see if he's still there. Candace, are you still there?
I am.
Okay. So, you know, we were talking about gifts. Now, let me ask you this question about gifting. So I see it all the time. And so mom has $300,000 or $400,000, right? She's starting to get a little less able. And so she moves in with her daughter, Mary, let's just call it Mary. And Mary and her husband are money grabbers. And Mary and her husband take mom for $150,000 that they pilfer out of her checking account because they've told her that they're going to take care of her and they're going to pay her bills and things. And now, you know, 6 months later or whatever, mom needs full custodial care. And, you know, they go to Medicaid and say, can you help us? What happens with that money that they took from her?
Okay, well, it sounds like they did some stealing of mom's money. However, we can look at it in another way. If we're trying to protect the money for the children, which probably, if you asked mom, would you like these, you know, the kids to have the money or spend it all on the long-term care for her, she'd probably want the kids to have it. So I don't like hearing that they took it, but if they had come to me, I would have likely advised them to get the money out of mom's name into their name anyway.
Right.
Because we're looking at the gifting rules. And we talked a little bit about the five-year look back, but let me explain that. If mom had given away her money and then didn't need long-term care for 6 years after that, you don't have to report that gift because it's beyond the five-year look back.
That's a funny part, too, you know, because Somebody who's 4 years and 11 months and got gifts of $500,000, you know, they have to report it all. Somebody who's 5 years and 1 month beyond of a gift, they don't have to report any of it.
That's really true.
You got to hold on because we're going to get Lee back on the phone. We'll get his question. Lee in Towson, how can we help you?
I understand that for protection of liquid assets, there's a technique using annuity, which would convert the asset to, it would not be looked at as a reachable asset.
Yeah. So what's your question?
My question is, does the government have to be a beneficiary for that annuity in the event that
let me get Candace to answer that question for you.
That. So we're going back now to a married couple because that's when the annuity is an excellent tool. It's a very specific type of annuity called a single premium immediate annuity. It's single premium because you can put one lump sum into the annuity, and it's immediate because it starts paying the well spouse. It's going to be the well spouse's annuity. Mm-hmm. It starts paying that spouse back almost immediately, and this spouse will continue to get a fixed monthly check every month for the term of the annuity. Now, once the annuity is bought, typically the next month, the spouse in the nursing home can be eligible for Medicaid. Now, there is a catch to it, exactly what Lee mentioned in his question. And he's asking, does the state have to be named as the beneficiary on the contract? And the answer is yes. Medicaid requires the state as the first beneficiary. What that means is, if that spouse who owns the annuity, and this is the well spouse, if that spouse would die before the end of the term, which means there's still money that hasn't been paid out to them, the money that is still in the annuity company is subject to a claim by Medicaid because they're the first beneficiary. Medicaid will present a bill to the annuity company for what they've spent on the person in the nursing home's care, and the annuity will pay out what's remaining to the state, and if there's any money left, then the contingent beneficiaries, who are likely the children, can get the rest. Now, because of this requirement, we want the families we work with to buy an annuity that has the shortest term allowable so that the likelihood that they will live the full term is the greatest. So there's a company in Maryland that sells these annuities as short as 3 years. You can even get a 2-year term annuity if you pay a fee. And what that means is that the person who's at home who bought the annuity, if they live the full 3 years, they will have gotten all their money back, and it's all protected. So this is a great tool that we can use when we have married couples where one is in a nursing home.
All right, Lee?
I have a question about that, though. Okay, let's say you have a couple $100,000 annuity, and all of a sudden a big check's coming in every month. You have to give that away or spend it, or would that money?
No,
the bank
no, no. You then? Don't have to give it away, and this is why. The annuity works because Medicaid only looks at the assets for the couple the month of application, and what that means is that spouse who's getting the annuity, when they buy it that month, the money in the annuity is not countable, so they have spent down appropriately. But that spouse is going to open up a new account where the annuity money is going to go. It's going to be payable on death to other than her husband, likely children. I'm presuming the husband's in the nursing home. And every month that she gets the check from the company, she can spend it or she can save it.
Right.
So her money's going to continue to grow. At the end of 3 years, she's going to have that $200,000 back, and Medicaid doesn't care because they only care about her assets as of the application date.
Lee, I have to run. I got other people I got to take questions for. You know, and actually, Candace, if the healthy spouse wins a lottery for $1 million a month after you put your application in, that asset doesn't count either.
Pretty much it won't, yeah.
We're going to go to Wayne in Essex. Wayne, how can we help you?
Yeah, hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got to take a break in a second or two, so why don't you ask your question, and then we'll take the break and come back and answer it for you. So go ahead.
All right, well, I'm not too familiar with this, but I wanted to know, my mom has the house in her name still, and it's very difficult for her to understand that, you know, maybe it would be better if it was in someone else's name. Will Medicare try to make her sell the home or take the house if she goes into a nursing home?
Yeah, you're going to have to hold for me, and you mean Medicaid, not Medicare, but she'll answer that. And that's a very important question because you get this a lot, Candace.
Yes.
And there's two sides to this coin. One's the long-term care side, the other's the income tax side. And so we're going to talk about that. If you want to hold on with us, Wayne, that's fine. If you want to hang up and just listen when we come back, that's fine too. All right? I'm going to put you on hold. So we got you on hold. I'm going to go to traffic. I'll be right back to answer that question.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here with Candace Scherr, Hotel California Eagles. That's an easy one. Anyway, we're here with Candace Scherr, and we're talking elder care, and we have a really great question on the line right now from Wayne. But before we answer that question, Candace, I just wanted to say if anybody wants to get in touch with Candace, her firm is Frank and Scherr, S-C-H-E-R-R. You just do a Google search on that. That's probably the easiest way to find it. I'm pretty confident it's the only Frank and Scherr law firm in the United States of America. But that's a great, easy way to find her if you have an elder care issue and need help. The great law firm helped us many times with clients, so we appreciate it. But this question that Wayne is asking, this is the number one issue I deal with clients, where they get that advice from the other seniors, you know, or their children or whatever, that we got to get this house into our name or else it's just going to go to a long-term care facility. There's truth and there's other problems with the issue.
Yeah, there's problems. Again, you've got the five-year look back, and the transfer of a house is treated as a gift, and they'll look at the value of the house, what the assessed value is or an appraised value, and that will be considered the gift. So if the house is worth or valued at $200,000, let's say, and the person transfers the house but needs a nursing home within 5 years of that transfer, Medicaid is going to come back and say, as a result of that, there's almost a 22-month penalty period where the parent can't get Medicaid. Now, what we do, because we always want to do the best we can to protect the house, there's certain ways that a house can be transferred. If the child is disabled or blind, the house can be transferred without any penalty. If the parent or if the child had been living with the parent for the past 2 years and a doctor says that during those 2 years puts in writing that the parent would have met the level to be in a nursing home and the child can prove they'd lived there and provided 24/7 care for the parent, either through their help or aides coming in or other family members, the house can be transferred to that child without any penalty also. But when you just transfer a house, you're looking at a large penalty period.
But you also have the income tax issue, too, that the child could be condemning themselves to capital gains tax on that house, which, you know, if the parent goes into a nursing home, that's a trivial issue. But if they never do, you just condemned yourself to umpteen thousands and thousands of dollars of capital gains tax. So it's not a simple decision, and it's something that should be talked over with a professional like yourself.
That's right. And there are other ways to transfer the house. I mean, a life estate might be a good option in this situation because there's a life estate without powers. It's a way to retitle the deed so that the penalty is less than the full value.
And you could still get the step up if they hold the house at the time. So you won't pay those capital gains tax. So, Wayne, it's an important question. It's a great question. You need to seek competent advice before you do anything. And I hope all of our listeners never, ever transfer a house into their children's names without competent professional advice. You get too much back alley advice or whatever you want to call it, hallway advice, you know, telling you what to do. And I see too many parents make that decision, and it's not usually the best decision. Anyway, I got to run. I got to run to Gene in Columbia. Gene, how can we help you?
Hey, I got a two-part question about the same topic.
Go ahead.
A situation where a person is already in a nursing home, and it's being paid down the nursing home care out of their assets, and then once they've been there 2 or 3 years, they've crossed that threshold that they're eligible for Medicaid. That's one scenario. And another scenario is that the person coincidentally is being taken care of at home and has very little assets, and around the same time that they go into the nursing home, or before they go to the nursing home, they actually qualify for the Medicaid. Under what circumstances are these nursing homes under any obligation to accept Medicaid patients?
Well, we find that most all nursing homes will accept somebody immediately when the Medicaid pending. So I don't see that being a problem. And maybe I see that because if it's my client, the nursing home knows that we're working with them, and that if we're helping them apply for the benefits, that it's going to be done properly and quickly.
So it's not a situation where nursing homes, like airlines, they'll set a certain number of seats for the discounted price,
yeah,
and everything else, and when they're gone, they're gone.
Right. Now, your first example kind of disturbs me, because there's no reason that somebody should have had to pay for 2 or 3 years private pay in a nursing home. They should see an elder law attorney to help see what, if any, of the assets can be protected, which they most likely can be.
Yeah, well, in my mom's case, about 3 or 4 years before she died, we moved everything out of her name.
Okay.
Sold the house.
Good.
She had enough income between my dad's continuing pension and Social Security. It was enough. She was in assisted living.
Oh, it was assisted living.
Yes.
So that's different than
had
a nursing home as far as being able to get back.
Relapses, and that was pending, but fortunately or unfortunately, she passed within 2 months after that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the question was, she was already in an assisted living place, and so we were scratching and said, well, are they going to come back to us and say, we don't have any room for a Medicare patient, all our beds are taken up?
Yes, because assisted living does not have a lot of certified Medicaid beds, and on top of that, she would have had to have been on the registry to get Medicaid in assisted living, which is a long wait list, 7-8 years now.
Yeah.
Good question, Gene. Thank you. We're running out of time. Candace, to get in touch with you, the easiest way to do it is just do a Google search for Frank and Scherr, Scherr Law Firm, here in Lutherville, Maryland, and you'll find them and their contact information. But here's a question for you before we run out of time. We've got a minute, and I get this asked a lot, and people believe if you go on Medicaid, you're going to get treated very badly. And that the question is, what determines how you get good care in a medical long-term care facility? Is it the money you spend, or is it something else?
No, most people in nursing homes are on Medicaid. They don't get treated any differently. The only issue would possibly be that they would be in a double room with a roommate.
So, but the other thing, too, is that visitors is usually the main reason that people get the best care.
Oh, that's true. That's true. But, there's no difference. And the aides and the workers, they don't know who's on Medicaid and who isn't. It's all the same care.
We're run out of time as usual. When you have a great guest, time just flies by. So it's Candace Scher, and that's Frank and Scher in Lutherville. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your expertise with our listeners.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Candace. And this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.
Gonna be much better.